So here in Leviticus 25, it's going through the land rest for the Sabbath day, or for the Sabbath, and also from verses 8 through 17, I believe, it's talking about, I lost where I was on my notes. Can you believe that? Anyway, well, here it is. Yeah, 8 through 17 talks about the Jubilee year, the 50th year, where everyone's debt is put away. Now, that's God's way of doing things. Everyone starts over. If you've loaned out your land, because you may not have wanted to farm for 50 years. You may have wanted to travel. This is in the great last day, too. And in 50 years, they farm it, and then you come back and say, I want to farm again. You get yours back. You know. You always hold on to what God has given to you. Everyone doesn't increase and hoard and everything else. No, you don't need that. There's not going to be any of that in the great last day in the kingdom of God. Let's keep on moving now. Leviticus 26, verse 2. He's talking again. He says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And he talks here, he says, first he says, you shall keep them. Then he says, because you've got this blessings and cursings too with the physical nation, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees will bear their fruit. So he'll bless you when you keep this. And that goes today. You're going to keep it the way it's supposed to be done in a church situation? Or are you going to sit at home and be righteous and holy all by yourself? Because that's all that's looking at you. God's not looking at you. God's not respecting you doing that. If there's a church around and you're not attending, you have a problem with God, not with us. You have a problem with Him. Because He doesn't, as we learned with Job last week, you know, He doesn't even look at your righteousness. He doesn't look at it. Doesn't matter to Him at all about your righteousness. You can never get enough of your righteousness to make Him look at you. You can't. Numbers 15. You know, God just keeps beating this and beating this all the time. Starting in verse, you can have in your notes, 32 to 36. It says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And it was a law. You weren't supposed to be out there picking up all these sticks. You're supposed to do that 6 days, not on the seventh day. And so they found him. They brought him to Moses and Aaron. And in verse 6, or in verse 35, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. And so in verse 36, all the congregation brought him outside the camp. You always take him outside the camp. That's another principle we'll be getting into later. Take him outside the camp, and they stoned him until he died. You want to stay home and do it your way? Or do you want to do it God's way? God has reasons why He does this. Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5:14 stresses it again. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it you shall do not do any work, your son, your daughter, your maidservant, all of that. And he just goes through it again. Remember, this Deuteronomy was Moses' last speech, way at the end, just before they went over the River Jordan. And he's reiterating this. Nothing has gone away. Now this point is very, very important. So he goes through this in 14. He says, no one should work, no one in your gates, all of that. Verse 15. Remember this. Don't ever let this out of your mind. It says, and remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Okay, so he says, remember, you were part of this satanic kingdom. To all of us, to them, they were slaves in Egypt. Remember, we were part of this satanic kingdom. Absolute slaves, didn't know anything. Dumb, as far as God was concerned. We didn't know anything about God. Why are you supposed to keep the Sabbath day? It says, therefore, the Lord thy God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. It's also showing, and it's a celebration. Remember I read that it was something to celebrate? This holy convocation? You know, we were a slave of Egypt. The satanic kingdom. And God delivered us, didn't he? When he gave us his Holy Spirit, and he brought us out of this satanic kingdom, and made us and sealed us as his first fruits, says, therefore, keep the Sabbath. God has brought us out of that satanic kingdom. You keep the Sabbath with the body of Christ, not at home. Self. People who are filled with self, and self comes from Satan, they sit at home with their own righteousness. Self judges. Self does it their way. The Spirit comes together. And the Spirit wants to fellowship, wants to be with like minds. You know, am I offending some? Good. Get off your butts and start to obey God. Can I say it any plainer? You're supposed to be in services. That is where you're supposed to be. Now, I am not going to judge you. I'm just telling you what God is saying. I'm not going to judge you. My job is to guide you. And that's all I'm trying to do, is to point out what is going on and how God's attitude and mind is toward this. You know, I can't... You can't lead a horse to water and make him drink. You know. We just try to guide and tell you what it is. Now, it says, we have to look in the Bible to see, how do we keep it holy? How do we keep this day holy? Look at my time and then look at what I all have here. And I think that we will just refer to this rather than turning to it. We don't want to make this a three-part series. We're going to do this today. Over in Matthew, write this down, in Matthew 10, verses 37 through 38. Christ is speaking here, and he says you have to love, he who loves your father and mother more is not worthy of me. You all know these scriptures. And in Luke 14, 26 through 30, he goes on again and talks about if you hate not your father, you know. And he doesn't mean to hate your parents. He's talking in an attitude that you better love God more than anything else. And Jesus Christ is talking about that. And it's talking about, in Luke here, about counting the cost. You know that scripture. And when you really read it, it's talking about a builder who is building away And then halfway through this project, he runs out of steam. He runs out of building material, and he stops. And then everyone around him looks and says, what a dumb builder. And he didn't even have enough bricks to finish the job. What kind of a builder is that? Now, is that what God is talking about? No. He's talking about you. You started off keeping the Sabbath very well, didn't you? You did it for years and years. Why would you want to slack off now? Obviously, what went through the Worldwide Church of God in the last 10 years, it would cause anyone to question a little bit. But don't give up. Don't give that up. Stay true to what God has taught you. You know, who talks later in that chapter about forsaking all? You better be willing to forsake all of your relatives and family members if you have to. If they get in the way between you and God, you must push them aside. You have to. If you know to keep the Sabbath, then why don't you? Your excuse may be good to you, but is it good to God? I don't see him taking too many excuses. He says, do it or I'll kill you. You know, do it or die. What's your excuse? Over the years, we have seen. Now, this is over 40 years. You know, I don't know anyone right now abusing this. But we have seen it in the past. I know we'll see it in the future. You know, family reunions and weddings, two of the biggest things that draw people away from the Sabbath, outside of just sheer laziness. When he talks about counting the cost, you know, all I can do is give you an example of what happened with us growing up in the church from way back, and all of our relatives. They had all their family reunions, and the grandmothers were there, and they always got people together, and they always had it on Saturday. But when we came in the church, we stopped going on Saturday, and we let our relatives all know. Say, listen, that's our church day. That's the day we go to church, and we don't sacrifice that. Now, more than happy to come up there on Sunday. And after we weren't there for a year or two, you know what? They all changed it to Sunday because they wanted us there. And then for years and years and years, until all the grandparents died and everyone kind of drifted apart, as does usually happen in families, all of our family reunions were on Sunday. And we taught our relatives that. And they knew it was because of our church. And weddings, when they would have a wedding and some of our cousins would get married or whatever, they would say, well, we had to get to church on Saturday and we know that you can't be there. They would just tell us, we know you can't be there. But we are having the reception later on Saturday evening, and we certainly hope you can make it for that. We really want you there. And generally, we're able to make those. I remember one time, I mean, they all knew that we couldn't eat pork. And one of the relatives, which was kind of on the outskirts of everyone else anyway, they held it that year, and they had all ham, and they had pork hot dogs, and they had pork everything. Now, it didn't matter to us. We were there to see them and all the relatives. And so we ate the salad, and we ate the potato salad, and we had more than enough food. You know who was mad? All of our other relatives. They were all mad at this particular relative because they didn't get us some beef hot dogs, and they didn't get some beef so we could eat. And the relatives stayed mad at those people for years and years. And so we taught them. But you see, we counted the cost, and God's Spirit led my father, my physical father, to hold fast to that Sabbath day. And so they can never come back and say, well, that man ran out of bricks. Now all of a sudden he's here on Saturday. They never used to be here on Saturday. We're winning them over to us. I want to tell you something. There's no relatives that you need to see that bad on the Sabbath. in general applications, okay? If you can't see them, why don't you take off a Sunday and go visit them if they're so important to you? Why don't you go do that? Some people may say, well, I have to work Sunday. If you can't take off of work and go see your relatives, if they're not more important to you than that, then they weren't important to break the Sabbath, were they? There are going to be some instances. We're not drawing all kinds of lines and going to saddle people down here. I depend on the Holy Spirit to guide each and every one of the first fruits. I depend on that. There is no more fear religion. Where if you're not here on the Sabbath day, then you're going to hell. No, but you have to work that out with God. Here's what God says about it. You work it out. We're here. We're happy. We're going to continue to be here. If you want to join us, fine. If not, talk to God about it, not us. You know, you really just have to come down and say, who's more important, you know? Let's let God's Spirit lead you in this. I can pretty well assure you that 99.9% of the time, when all these reunions, when all the weddings, when all the other stuff comes up, anything to drag you away from the Sabbath, just say no. And you'll be surprised how God will start to work it out in your life. That your relatives will see, well, we really miss them. Well, next year, you know, or later in the summer, why don't we get together on Sunday so we all can be together? And frankly, if they don't care that much about you, because it doesn't matter to them whether it's Saturday or Sunday, it only matters to you. If they don't care that much about you, you know, why waste your time? Go where at least you're welcome, not where you have to go to their religion. How can you keep the Sabbath when you are meeting with unconverted relatives? Do you think you can actually keep it holy? Well, there again, you take that to God. You know, you give God your excuse on that. I don't, because I don't see them on the Sabbath, and I don't go to their weddings on the Sabbath. Now there are times when it's a son or a daughter or something like that and they're not in the church that you may have to go. But that's a once in a lifetime deal. You know, if they get divorced, don't go to their next one. You know, you go once, okay? You have to be the judge of that. God's not an ogre either here. He doesn't just sit back with this big thing over your head to kill you. He wants to see the general attitude. You work that out with God. I can tell you that it's very important to God that you keep it. And that's what we're telling you. You know, going to be with other people on the Sabbath is not an ox in the ditch. See, that's an ox in your head. It's not an ox in the ditch. Ox in the ditch is an emergency comes up. And you have to help somebody. You actually have to, like, work and help somebody. There's an accident, there's a fire, there's a natural disaster, and you want to help your neighbors, and that you can do. It's something that happened, you know. Obey God, not Satan. You know, I can bring up like tithing, what I've seen over all these 40 years. I've seen people stop tithing. And when they stop tithing, they think they're going to get ahead, or they're going to take care of things that they need to take care of with the money. You know what God does? He never lets you get ahead with it. He causes things that month to go wrong. And so now you've spent not only the tithe, he's taken his tithe one way or another. He took that, and then he took double, and then sometimes triple. And if you don't get the lesson, then he goes even further. And he starts taking it 4, 5, 6, 7 times. You don't mess with God. That's the principle here. You know, you can play games with the world, and we may be able to play games with each other, but you cannot play games with God. His law is there, and he wants you to be part of that. In Matthew 19:29, Christ talks about, you know, everyone who forsakes all in this lifetime will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal and everlasting life. And he's talking about the first fruits here, because you're going to inherit that. And we have all had to forsake a lot of things. There's an example here in Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. And you can look up the corresponding scriptures there. When Christ was talking to people in the church, people who were into, well, they weren't in the church yet, but they were interested in learning about him. And the other ones came, and they came with Mary and some of his brothers and sisters. And they said, well, your brother and your mother and your sisters and brethren are out here. They want to talk to you. And Christ says, wait a minute, who is my brother? And who is my brethren? Who is my mother? And he pointed to all of these who were interested in hearing what he had to say. That's the important part. You see, Christ's mind and attitude on this. It's an attitude of mind, and that's what's important. Are you really trying to serve God? We read over in Matthew 8, 21 through 22. You know, the man says, well, I want to follow you. I want to be one of your disciples. And Christ says, fine, come with me now. And he says, well, but my father is dead. I have to bury him. What did Christ say? Well, okay, we'll wait for you. No. He says, let the dead bury the dead. If you're going to be on this mission with me, you come with me. But he knew, of course, the man couldn't do that, and he went back. Just like the other people that didn't have all of the... They had all these riches, and they couldn't give that to the poor, and they went away sorrowful. Because they couldn't give it up. It was their life. We've already talked about not forsaking the assembly together. We really should be in church. In Romans 10:17, it talks about faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Not you sitting home and reading it. It's by hearing it. Because God does inspire those who speak when they're speaking His way. Let's turn over to Mark 2. Over in Mark 2, he is talking about why the Sabbath was there. It says in verse 27 and 28 in Mark 2, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Wherefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was made for man. It was made for man. It was set up for man. And you're supposed to do it. We want to look here. Turn over to John 7 since we're real close here. In John 7. In verses 19 through 24, and you can go through this later. But he's talking here, and Christ is doing some things where he healed a man on the Sabbath. And the Jews, you know, weren't all too happy about what he was doing on the Sabbath. Of course, they had their own traditions. And so it goes down here a little bit in verse 19. You know, Christ really gives a slam on these Jews. He says, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? You know, why do you go about to kill me? And then he brings out different things here about circumcision. You know, that was the law. And on the eighth day of that child, when he was born, whether it comes on the Sabbath or not, you circumcise him. It was very important. And we know that that circumcision pictures on that eighth day all mankind coming to God, physically and spiritually. And he says in verse 24, he says, you know, you guys all judge by the appearance. You don't do righteous judgment. We find out that we couldn't do righteous judgment until we knew the plan of God. You know, we may have criticized somebody doing something on the Sabbath there too. We don't want to judge one another. We're trying to give you God's attitude about all of this. In since we're here, John 9. And where I wanted to concentrate, we won't have time to read it, was John 9, 1 through 14. But this is where Jesus Christ came, and there was this man, was blind from birth, in verse 1. And they asked him, well, who sinned? Did he sin, or his parents? And Christ said in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was made for this purpose, to be healed by Christ, to show something. And so as he went on, Christ went down, he spit upon the ground, he made some, with the dirt, he made some clay, and he rubbed it on the man's eyes, and he told him to go wash, and then he'd be healed. And all that was Christ was showing that the blind, and all of us have been blind, and the world is blind, and not until the resurrection, until he goes back down to the earth, and that he is recreated, physical being, in the great last day, is everyone going to be able to see again. And he says to go get washed, and people are going to be washed by that word during that time. So all must die and be resurrected for everyone to really see. And that's what Christ was doing there. That was the example. But why was people mad at Christ for doing this? In verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And that pictures the great last day when all man's eyes will be opened. You know, everything that God did, everything that he inspires, all flows into the story. Always does. You know, as far as the keeping the Sabbath, we have to set a good example to all of the children. We're supposed to be teaching our children about the Sabbath day. You know, children should not be out playing on the Sabbath. They have 6 days to go out and play. We were never allowed to go out and play. I'm glad we weren't, because it made the day special. You stay in. You rest. It's a day of rest. You read. You go to church. You don't go out on the swing set on Saturday. You don't go out in the yard and play. You don't play with the neighbor kids. And the neighbor kids come over, you say, can't play today. And they start to get the idea that something's going on. Every Saturday they come over. And then finally the children will say, you know, that's our church day. We don't really play that much outside, you know. We see friends at church, and that's our Sabbath day. We don't do a lot of playing on that day. And have the children be taught that. That's what we did. It made a difference. You make the Sabbath a difference from all the other days. You make it holy time. They can do that 6 days a week. They don't have to do it there. You know, you don't allow your children to do schoolwork on the Sabbath. They don't do homework on the Sabbath. How often have we seen in church the kids sitting there doing the homework? Well, this is really educational for the kid, isn't it? You might as well not even be there. And you don't have great big, hard, big Bible studies with your family on the Sabbath. You may have a little subject you want to go over, but don't make it fearful for the children. You're going to ask them all these questions, and if they can't answer them, then they can't have dinner. You know, I've heard of all of that. My parents were very balanced that way. We had to learn the Ten Commandments, but it was only a commandment here and a commandment there, and then we learned them all. We learned them by heart. I'm glad my dad did that. But it was never overbearing. You know, what about Friday evening? Friday evening, you should be together as a family. Have a special meal, if you can. But the family sits there and eats together. Let the children know this is the Sabbath. You don't have TV playing and all of that. You have a nice music. You have some nice family music on. Put the fireplace on if you happen to have one. Enjoy it. Saturday is a good day. You sleep in the morning. Most of all of our services are the afternoon. So you can do this. Sleep in a little bit. Take it a little easy. Take a nap if you want. It's a day of rest. Before you were told, oh, you have to pray and study, or you won't make it. No, no, you've already made it. Now rest. Relax. You've got 24 hours. You don't have to think about the world, okay? You have a day to study and to talk. Make the Sabbath a delight. Make it a delight. Don't make it hideous. Then the children, oh, they may complain at first, but they're going to know on the Sabbath, you don't go out and do your playing. You play quiet and you play in the home. It is a different day and it's holy to them. Do you want your children to be sanctified? Do you want God to watch out over them? Do you want the angels to be with them? Then teach them and train them the way they're supposed to be. Now how does that, we want to go through real quick here how the Sabbath pictures the great last day. Lack of time, I always over-prepare, as you know. But I want to give you the best that we can. You can write down Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 7. Here it is talking about, blessed is the man that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it. We will turn over here to Isaiah 58. Very important verse. See, I'm giving you all these extra scriptures so you can be on the Sabbath and you can do some study. It gives you something to study. If you don't know what to study, study this. Isaiah 58, starting in verse 13 and 14. It says, if you will turn away your foot from the Sabbath, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure. This is this desire. It's not work, it's desire. I looked that up. It's your own desire. Don't do your own desire on my holy Sabbath day and call the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord, honorable. Thou shalt honor him. Not doing your own ways. Not doing your own ways, what you think ought to be done, but what he does. Not finding your own pleasure or your desire. This is a different day. It's a holy day. Nor speaking your own words. Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. See the blessing you're going to get? And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you from the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He means what he says. His word pleasure. You look up pleasure. It's desire. You know, he has already caused us. He really has already caused us to ride the high places of the earth knowing his truth. In Isaiah, since we're there, Isaiah 66, he's talking about, and I'll tell you, in Isaiah here, from chapter 40 on, is almost exclusively talking about the great last day. He will throw in some historical points here, and warnings and things like that, but mainly it's talking about the great last day. And in verse 23, this is what's going to happen in Isaiah 66:23. This is what's going to happen in the great last day. And it shall come to pass. We know no one's ever really kept this, but there's going to be a time when everyone keeps it. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, says God. That's what's going to happen, brethren, forever. Put this in your notes. Here's some study material. Jeremiah 17:19-27. This is a warning to Israel and Judah that if they do not keep the Sabbath, they will be destroyed. And of course, they all were because they never did keep it. And if you don't, he says, I'm going to devour you. You do it or die. And that was, of course, the physical Israel. In Ezekiel 20, let's turn there. Ezekiel 20, starting in verse 12. He's telling them, this is really a story about their rebellion, when you look at it. It says, moreover, verse 12, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. And he says, but the whole house of Israel, they all rebelled against me in the wilderness. They all did it. He shall even live in them, and my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness and consume them. Of course, he did. And you can read all through this chapter that God says he wants you to hallow his Sabbaths. They are holy. And he wants you to do it so that you'll know him. And it just keeps on going, even in... talks about profaning my Sabbaths. And in verse 25 and 26, it mentions something very interesting. I don't happen to see this in here. I must have written down the wrong thing, but it talks about a conspiracy, and it's talking about Satan's conspiracy. And it's, and when you read through the whole chapter, you'll pick this up. That may be over in Ezekiel 22. See, I'm trying to hurry, and now I'm getting all messed up here. But read through Ezekiel 22 as well. It talks about the same thing, and there I believe it talks about this conspiracy. And that's Satan's conspiracy to do this. Ezekiel 44, here it's talking now about that great last day and what this pictures. Starting in verse 9, Ezekiel 44, verse 9, thus saith the Lord, no stranger uncircumcised in the heart, nor uncircumcised in the flesh shall enter into my sanctuary. Now that's only one time. That can happen. That's the great last day when there's human beings that will be circumcised, and they will also be circumcised of the heart. Now it talks about in verse 15, it talks about the sons of Zadok that are going to serve in the temple. And this is the temple of the future. This is in the great last day. And they're going to be serving there. Verse 23, talking about all these priests. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in, he says, and they're going to, let's see, stand in judgment, and they will judge in accordance and according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes, in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. This is the great last day. They are going to be keeping the holy days and the Sabbaths all the way through there. Verse 28, it talks about the inheritance of the Levites. And you are a Levite. That's what you are, a spiritual Levite. What is your inheritance? And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. See? They don't have any possessions. You as first fruits don't either. We can go on and on about so many places, about King David being over in Ezekiel 34. He is that prince that God is going to establish in the great last day. He's going to be physical, and he's going to be that prince. And he's going to offer the sacrifices for the people. And you can read about all of that, all the way through Ezekiel here. It's talking about this great last day. You know, the Sabbath day is a very important day to God. And he made it holy. And if you want to understand more about how the great last day pictures, or the Sabbath pictures the great last day, send in for those tapes on the great last day, the holy day. And we go through all of it very carefully. You know, how do you regard his Sabbath? Do you do what you want to do on the Sabbath? Or you do it the way he wants it? Will you please self before God? You know, these are not my words. This is what God has been telling us and God has been teaching us. You know, let's all ask that God's Spirit within us leads us. Let's get on our prayers. If there's a decision to be made about the Sabbath, get on your knees and ask God through His Spirit to inspire you to do the right thing. We have to hallow God's Sabbath as He does. We should look forward to being with God's people. And finally, brethren, if we do all those things and we allow God's Spirit to work within us and to lead us and to guide us, finally, we too will be able to call His Sabbath a delight. So brethren, next Sabbath, do the right thing. And do the right thing always as far as the Sabbath goes. It's very important to God, and it should be extremely important to all of us.